You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey, this is Heather.
Hey, this is Liz.
This week we sit down and we talk about the music that's made us.
All right, grab your headphones. Let's hit that music. Remember, I think last week I was talking to you about how I thought I might have ADHD. Turns out I do. So that's fun. So I've been taking meds for that and it's surprisingly quieter in my head, which is kind of fantastic because I always have music floating around in my head. But this week I was like, you know what? I'm going to get up. I'm going to go to the gym. Now, usually the only time I get up and go to the gym is like when my sister's with me. And so there's like another person you have to kind of be accountable for, blah, blah, blah. She was at work. So I was like, I'm going to go by myself. And I was like, I'm going to just go like work on my arms, get some weight machine. Dude, my arm is so sore right now. I can barely move it.
Yeah, I know. It's like you get punished for being motivated.
I know.
It's like,
I keep telling myself, I'm like, there's gotta be hot guys at the gym at some point, right? Like you could just work out and just eye candy. I'm happily married, but I can use eye candy at the gym, but so I've decided I don't think the hot guys go to the YMCA. So
yeah, I was pretty happy when I was living at that place in San Jose. It was right across the street from the park. And I was kind of depressed on Thanksgiving because I wasn't back home with the family and I was like all alone. But I was sitting out on my patio and I look across and there was a very attractive group of men playing like Shirts and Skins football. And I was like, huh, well, like, this is
thank
this
you,
is
universe.
Nice. Yeah, I can handle this. I'll just sit out here.
I'm just getting my fresh air, my vitamin D. It's fantastic. I've decided, and this kind of bit me in the butt even saying this, I've decided that there's a secret hot guy manufacturing camp in Canada somewhere. This is where HGTV gets all of their hosts for these different home improvement shows. And so our friends over at Mouse and Weens had, and I can't remember his name. I'm so sorry, dude. They had the guy who was the host of Yard Crashers, like maybe the second host of Yard Crashers or something. So they had him on the show and they had put out a call for like, hey, who wants to ask a question to this yard guy? And I was like, I want to know why all the house guys are super fucking hot. And then they asked him, nerdy bitches wants to know. He's like, nerdy bitches, what a great name. And I was like, oh my God, we're dead. So, and he basically said, cause we're doing yard work all the time and that's why we get hot. And I was like, fair enough, but they seem to have per capita more than anyone else.
Well, I mean, there's a large percentage of bears that come out of Canada, so I see.
I will also say that my uncle owns a construction company or owned a construction company when I was growing up, and they would come to the house and work on different projects, and we would go places where they were building, and not one of those guys was hot. Not one. So
I'm like, so the theory doesn't hold. We've tested this hypothesis.
I said they're in Canada. They're all in Canada. So if we have any hot US-based contractors, send us an email. That'd be great. We'd like to know you exist.
Yeah, because so far Canada's winning. That's all we're saying.
So anyway, that's how my week's been going. How about you? Doing all right? Yep.
You know what I'm sick of? I'm sick of men sexualizing women. I'm just going to say it.
It's terrible. It's the worst. Listen, we'll be equal opportunity here. It's fine. not over sexualizing them. I just
appropriately sexualizing them.
Yes, I enjoy that they have put so much effort into their physique. I'm a fan of that. It's fine. So this music podcast is getting away from us. It's going to be a hot guy podcast pretty soon here. So,
well, let's see if any of our musicians are hot. You know, that's the thing.
Yes.
Is that male musicians don't have to be hot. Female musicians do.
Yes.
Why is that?
Sexism. Mm.
Sure. Okay.
Misogyny.
All right. Mm-hmm. We can't talk about the double standards after we just went through this whole, like, men need to be hot thing. Okay.
Well, all right. Fair enough. But I don't know. I you know, someone who's married to an opera singer, I will say that there are, especially in the opera world, there are far fewer shows that are like lady based. Most of the choruses and things like that are men.
Don't they have more range than women in opera?
Not necessarily. Mm-hmm. Like Paul is a tenor. He has no falsetto though. So like there are baritones and whatever who can actually sing like up into a higher, almost like a lady range. Mm-hmm. And some people have like a massive Freddie Mercury 4-octave, 5-octave kind of range thing. So it's all over the place. But again, most of the early like music shit was all written by men. And honestly, back in the day, all of the opera female, like all of the opera parts, men or women, were also played by men. So
They probably found it handy back then to realize how much stuff you can actually hold in your bra so that you don't have to carry purses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why they have pockets. Yes. Yeah, I know they have pockets.
So what we're talking about today, 12 minutes into this podcast, gym, hot guys, music, go. So I thought
what we're talking about today.
What we're talking about today is, you know, I've been wanting to do an episode about music for a really long time. I mean, we're like episode 201 here. I couldn't really figure out a way to bring it in without it just being nerd music or 8-bit band or Weird Al or, you know, something like that. But the fact is, I am a giant music nerd, and I know you are too. So
in a sense. Now, we're going to talk about music. We've talked about the books that made us, the movies that make us. We talked about all kinds of things that were kind of our essence growing up. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say nothing that I am going to say is going to shock you about me. I have very stereotypical music tastes. And the only thing that is different is all of my musical tastes are for somebody about 20 years my senior.
Mm.
But now
like
that
your
I'm
parents?
At, yeah, it'd probably be my parents type of music, even though the issue is now that like the Zoomers and stuff, they don't realize that my music is for older people. And so it's no longer like a, hey, that's a quirky thing about Heather. It's like, oh,
now
yeah,
you're
like
a hipster.
Everybody her age listens to that stuff. Like, no, not everybody my age listens to that type of stuff. Like, you know,
they just think you're 20 years older than you are. It's fine.
That's exactly what they do. They're like, oh yeah, you know, it's like when you were in the women's suffrage movement. No, I'm not that old. You know, like,
you know, though, I keep having these things. You know, we just had Black History Month. We've had Women's History Month, things like that in the last couple of months. And, yeah, you know, you think about things, and I was born in 1976, so y'all can do math and figure that out. That is not that far removed. Like, all of the civil rights movement and things like that feels like it was so long ago because
all
we should be evolved
people. All the
pictures
are in black and white.
They're all in black and white. It was forever ago. That is, what, 13 years?
It's like, yeah.
It's like, it's not that. It was like 12 years after the Civil Rights Act of 1964 that I was born. That's that's younger than my niece. You know what I mean? Like, it's not that long ago. And you're like, oh.
Yeah.
So
I know it is hard to start to fathom it when you think about something that's 50 years ago and 50 years seems like such a long time.
Except I'm turning 45, so it doesn't seem that long anymore.
Well, I mean, but like you think about 50 years ago, in the 90s when we're growing up. You know, that's the 40s, right? Yeah. 50 years ago now is like, no, no, that wasn't that long ago.
I know. I was like, 1990 was 20 years ago. I'm sorry. Yeah. It's still,
it's still in my head. Yeah, that is that. I know. Crazy. Okay. So I was thinking about the music that I liked growing up, and I really liked classic rock. Mm-hmm. And it's luckily though, like classic rock is still classic rock, even though like I've gotten older, it kind of still stuck in the same like era.
Yeah.
And oldies is still oldies, and it's still the same, like, era. It's still, like, 40s and 50s, and then, like, classic rock still 60s and 70s. I don't know how
but
that...
they're playing, like, Pearl Jam on 99.1 Sunny here in Houston, yeah, which used to be, like, the oldies station. I'm like, wait.
Now it's adult contemporary, so it's different. I remember in high school saying, I cannot wait till I'm in my 30s and 40s because then all the radio stations will be playing the music we like now. And you know what? It's kind of true.
It is true. Very, very true. Yeah. So what were some of the bands that you grew up listening to? I think I could name half of them, but you know, like, okay. Like think about like when you were really little, like say, I don't know, under 7 or 8, like, you know, preschool, whatever. Like, what kind of music do you remember, like, your parents listening to or you really enjoying?
The California Raisins. Is that on the list? I mean, because, like, really, the California Raisins were the fucking shit. I mean,
they heard it through the grapevine.
Were you expecting that? I mean,
I was not. Well, here's the thing. The song behind the California Raisins, I could totally see. Yeah. Them, that I was not anticipating that one. I really wasn't. I love it. Now I'm going to make you draw a California Raisins t-shirt that we can sell on our store.
Because I loved the California Raisins. And my first like little, you know, cassette, my own little boombox, you know, that I got that was like pastel pink or whatever. I got a California Raisins cassette and I played it. And, you know, I don't know who they were based on, like the Temptations or whoever.
Yeah, something like that.
But,
all of those kind of Motown bands, they did a lot of that kind
of
stuff.
I'm sure my family thought that they were like the Barney song by the time it was over because all I did was play the fucking California Raisins.
Do you remember they actually had like a TV show and it was like Claymation?
Yes, I remember.
It was like up there with like Pee-wee's Playhouse for me because they had the same kind of style, like not so much the zany thing, but like that same Claymation Funimation, whatever they call it. So
I don't know. I haven't thought about the California Raisins until you just asked me that question.
Oh, I would say I remember when I was probably about 3 years old, I got my first record player. See, that's how much older I am. I had a record player. My parents had 8-track player. I didn't get 8 tracks. I had a record player. And it was a Winnie the Pooh record the player. Super styling for the average 3-year-old. But the only, like, I know I had like kids nursery rhyme stuff, but I didn't care about any of that. I loved classic country music. So the very first record I remember playing on that Winnie the Pooh record player was actually Johnny Lee's Looking for Love. In all the wrong places. Yeah. 3 years old, whatever, 4 years old, something like that. Loved that song. I loved all that stuff. Louisiana Saturday Night, anything by Crystal Gayle. Fucking loved Crystal Gayle. My parents had like that kind of vibe. So like kind of classic country, but also kind of that classic adult contemporary that would have been at that same time. Julio Iglesias, people like that. So had a very weird music upbringing. But like I started singing at about 4 or 5 and started going to like church choir, school choirs, that kind of stuff. So music was always just a huge influence on me and in my life.
Yeah. I mean, most of the music that I listened to, that my family listened to, was going to be the Beatles. And you know, there was always like a split though, because my mom listened to kind of more rocky, you know, like rocky rock, like,
she and just listened to Rocky on a loop.
Yeah. And my, but my dad listened, this is my stepdad, would listen to kind of more, I don't know, traditional. It's not traditional, but like you're going to be like your Whitney Houston's and Billy Joel's and stuff.
That's all that contemporary, basically.
Yeah. And so I would hear both of them. And I did remember though, my neighbors, you know, my neighbor friends would listen to the top 40. And so I would hear music that would have questionable lyrics. Color Me Bad and things like that. And the funny thing is they were like super religious and we weren't religious at all.
But, that's funny.
You know, and so I would just listen to them like, do they know the words that they're saying?
You know, like, what though? Like my best friend growing up when I was in probably third, fourth, fifth grade, like elementary school kind of grade, her family was super Catholic. Like everyone's name was Irish Catholic. They went to mass every Sunday, that kind of thing. And I would spend the night at their house on Saturday night. And I mean, this is where I got to hear Def Leppard, Tiffany, Debbie Gibson, like all of those kind of teen heartthrob, pop stars, top 40 kind of stuff. And a lot of them had like the questionable lyrics or the meaning behind some of those things that, you know, we just sang them because we're stupid kids. We didn't have any idea. And now you go back and listen to me like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was 7 and dancing to that on my front lawn because for some reason at that age, and honestly, it's all circling back because I've been watching a shit ton of Instagram reels. And this looks exactly like the crap we used to do when we were kids. We just used to make up dance routines in the front yard to entertain our parents for no reason.
Yeah, I never did that. I do birthday
party stuff. I'm talking like a birthday party. We like break into teams and choreograph shit. Of course, we were all on a dance team, so maybe we're just weird like that.
You know what? I have cousins and stuff that did that, but for some reason that never popped into my head. But I also have no rhythm, and so I guess that was probably discouraged at a very young age from me. They're like, yeah, don't do that.
They're like, you're good.
Yeah.
My parents are like, dance, monkey. So they're still like, dance, monkey. So,
yeah. So it was probably junior high when I started getting my own sense of music that was kind of separate from my parents. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they still liked classic rock, but they liked kind of more adult contemporary classic rock. Think like Paul Simon's and
the Eagles.
You know, and not that I didn't like it. But I also started listening to like my own versions, but I also listened to current rock or semi current rock. I still was listen to older people's stuff.
Yeah.
And I went to my first concert. Well, okay. My first concert was Chet Atkins with my dad, but that's beside the point.
It's Chet Atkins. That name sounds familiar. No idea.
He's like a country. He's like a country guitar player, but he was actually with the Prairie Home Companion guy, and that's why we went.
Oh, yeah. Garrison Keillor. I love Prairie Home Companion.
I did too.
But I didn't hear about it until I was an adult. So it wasn't like we didn't grow up listening to that kind of stuff.
The closest we
had was NPR, the Rose Sharon Prison. They would broadcast prison love letters on the radio like late on Saturday nights. So weird. What?
Yeah. Yeah, we used to listen to those on road trips.
I would say my first concert was, I'm 100% sure my first concert was a rodeo concert because I live in Houston and that's what we do. So I don't count those, but I would say my first rodeo concert. My first rodeo concert was Ronnie Millsap. Want to go weirdly old school and strange? There you go.
Yeah, I know. Only a couple of rodeo concerts I would count because I really wanted to go to them.
I counted the ones when I was older that I actually got to choose where we were going. Yeah. These are the ones my parents chose. But because this is 100% a late Gen X thing, my very first concert that I went to with my friends and not something my parents dragged me to was New Kids on the Block when I was about 12 or 13 years old.
Nice.
It was the best. It was so good. Oh, my God.
Oh, I bet that was awesome.
It was great. My poor mom had to go with us. It was terrible. She hated it.
Yeah. I was a little too young for New Kids on the Block. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, I loved them because I was pretty young. And so that's like the perfect music for my age at the time.
I had this crazy killer New Kids on the Block wall in my room. Like an entire wall was dedicated to New Kids collage. I mean, it wasn't a huge – it was like a desk wall, like a short wall. But it was still pretty impressive. So
yeah. Yeah. So I think I grew out of them kind of right when everybody did. And I was still kind of young. I was way too young for a concert. But so my first band that I went and saw in concert was Duran Duran. And by that time, they were a little older than the Duran Duran in the 80s, because it was definitely the 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
That I saw them in. And so it was a pretty good concert. If I must say, with Terrence Trent D'Arby. So,
yeah. Very nice. Now, some of them, we're rocking some old school names here.
Yes, I know. And I did regret, I could not get my mom to say okay, because I was still in junior high, and so I was too young. She would not let me go to Nirvana. And it was the very last concert, you know, I really regretted.
Died the year I was like a senior in high school. So
yeah. It was sad.
My sister was a huge Nirvana fan. She's a little bit younger than you. I think you're my brother's age. So she was a massive fan. I was like on the cusp. Like I enjoyed it, but I wasn't gonna, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I had his albums and I wanted to go, but my mom wouldn't let me. And probably now, you know, in hindsight, I was too young to go to that concert.
Yeah.
So I can see why she said no.
That's a much higher level crowd right there.
Yeah.
Probably
exactly.
What you were used to at like 15. Yeah. So,
yeah. Yeah. So, it was probably not appropriate. So,
yeah, I started going to concerts. Like, again, we had rodeo stuff. So we would go see Reba, or we would go see George Strait or Clint Black. I have seen Trace Adkins like 5 times because he comes all the time. Like, it's just some of them are easier to get tickets to than others. But I would say, like, in high school, I started going to concerts with my friends, and we went to the Cranberries concert up at the Woodlands, and that was so fun. That was the first time I ever smelt weed in the wild, I think, was at the Cranberries concert. I was like, really? The Cranberries concert? Okay. So.
Well, I would think that would be an exact place where I would expect.
Apparently it was. I was a senior in high school, so I wasn't thinking about puffs of weed at that point. But
okay. Well, yeah. So. But
yeah, that was actually a really good concert.
Yeah.
A sad when Dolores passed away. Was it like last year or 2 years ago? Anyway.
I did like the Cranberries. So that kind of started all of my concerts. And then I kind of get in my rockier phase. Rockier.
And you were at Rocky Horror Picture Show?
Oh man, I loved Rocky Horror Picture Show. Do not get me started.
I went several times.
Yeah. Then, you know, I went to Depeche Mode a few times. Mm-hmm. Every time they came to town, went to Depeche Mode.
I was always broke. I never went to a lot of like actual concerts because I was broke, but I had a ton of music.
Yeah. I found when I was like listing my concerts that as soon as tickets started going up in price that I couldn't afford it anymore. Yeah. Like I never went to like the Eagles and stuff because the ticket prices just went too crazy and I couldn't afford them anymore.
I remember as a grown up trying to go see Billy Joel and Elton John, it was like, well, I'm not paying $300 a ticket. So
yeah. Bye. Oh, I know. Me and Craig were so far away. We were so far away. I can't even describe how far away we were. Anyway. Yeah. But I did see The Offspring. That was super fun.
Mm-hmm. I'd go see that now.
Oh, you know what? And I still love The Offspring. Still love The Offspring. Couldn't get past my classic rock love. I went and saw Creedence Clearwater Revisited because, you know, the lead singer, like replacement, sounded just like him.
Yeah. So they're really good at doing that. So
I was just like, it's just like the same lead singer. That was fun. I still do that. I still love going to like sound-alike bands.
Yeah, I don't mind a good cover band. As long as they're a good cover band, that's great. I think
my husband hates it. And I'm like, you know what? This is the only way to go and listen to like
dead people.
And
we went to see Lynyrd Skynyrd at the Woodlands. Yes. And of course, obviously, the main guy had been dead for years. But
I know.
They did it. Kick-ass concert at the Woodlands. It was amazing.
It's fun. It's cheap. You're around people that just want to hang out and listen to the music, and they're not like all stuck up in the air. Yep. I love it. You know?
Yeah. I'm a fan. Like, I think the best concert I ever went to is actually a festival. So we have a 2-day festival. It was the Eric Clapton Guitar Festival. He does it, or I don't know if he still does it. He used to do it once a year. And all of the proceeds or whatever portion of them, whatever, went to his rehab place that he has in like Antigua or something. But we went and it was.
Wait, Eric Clapton?
Yes.
The singer and songwriter of Cocaine?
Yes, yes. Has a rehab clinic in Antigua. Okay. Yes.
Just checking. He does. All right.
Okay. I think after that kid falling off the balcony thing.
That was sad.
Yeah, I think life changes at that point. But this guitar festival was amazing. So they had a lot of up and comers and people you haven't heard of and people I've now heard of. But at the time it was like, huh, who's that guy? Oh, what's his name? Stevie Ray Vaughan's brother was there. Mm-hmm. John Mayer was there. I didn't realize John Mayer was actually like a really good guitar player. Yeah, I mean, he's a douchebag.
He's a human, crazy good guitar player.
He's
like crazy
so good. It was so impressive. And the guys who are the Soggy Bottom Boys, from mm-hmm. Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Man of Constant Sorrow. That's on. They were there. And then I lost my fucking mind because B.B. King was there. Mm-hmm. And we got to watch B.B. King perform live on stage. And I was like, oh my God, my life is over because this is amazing. And the final act was ZZ Top. And I have seen ZZ Top in concert like 3 times because they are old as fuck and they put on the best shows. They are so good. I enjoy their shows a lot.
I've always wanted to see ZZ Top.
They're amazing. And like at the guitar festival, it was at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas. So we had to like travel for this. And it was out, you know, it's an outdoor open air arena there at the old Cotton Bowl Stadium. And it was like a lightning storm was picking up. ZZ Top's like, fuck it, let's go. They're like, the floor is made of metal. We should all these people sitting on the floor seats are made of metal. All the stands are made of, we have to stop. And they're like, fuck it, keep going. I was like, yes. So.
Oh man, that sounds like it'd be awesome.
It was so good. I loved it. And then we saw him like 2 other times at the rodeo because why not? So
yeah, that, you know, that is one nice thing about the Houston Rodeo is like you can really go and see bands, these headliners for a very reasonable price.
And it's not just country music either. Everybody's like, no, just go to a country. I was like, no, hell no. Like they get some serious talent in there and you can go see these for super cheap.
Yeah. I saw REO Speedwagon there. Yeah,
nice.
I know. I know. I bought a t-shirt, an REO Speedwagon t-shirt, because I was like, it's not every day you get to see REO Speedwagon.
You know what?
I dropped more for the price of my t-shirt than I dropped for the price of the tickets.
I mean, you can get rodeo tickets for like $15. So you can go to this concert. I mean, who cares if you're in the nosebleed? They have an excellent sound system. They have no problem projecting to this fucking sky. Like, they don't care.
Yep.
You know, that's been the awesome thing living in Houston. We didn't go to a lot of concerts. I don't like going to the Woodlands concerts for the most part because the parking is like 10 miles away from where you have to be.
You are walking so far.
So far. They're not like, hey, let's give you a tram. No. It's like, here, you're walking from Conroe. It's fine. And, but the rodeo gave us all of these like I'm so spoiled that I can go to these amazing concerts if I so choose. But honestly, my anxiety doesn't really let me go to the rodeo a lot.
It was a lot of fun though.
Yeah, it was fun. The carnival's fun. Like the whole thing is fun. But I love it.
So I also like a little bit of heavy metal. Now, like heavy metal, like. Oh, what is the term? Like real heavy metal? I like. No.
Like death metal, maybe?
Yeah, no, I like the heavy metal that's like palatable. So I'm talking.
Metallica?
I don't like Metallica.
I like Metallica. Old Metallica.
Oh, yeah. I only started liking old Metallica in like the 2000s. I didn't like them in the 90s when I should have liked them. But anyway.
I liked them in the 90s, but I like the older stuff. Like, Black Album and beyond, like Forward.
Okay. Yeah. So I went and saw Ozzy Osbourne in concert. Ooh. Love him. Well, I love Black Sabbath, right?
Love.
So that type of metal. So it's not like real metal, like it's not heavy metal. And I know it probably wasn't palatable at the time, but like to me, it's like, it's not heavy.
No.
And then, and I went and saw the concert with Pantera, Typo, Negative, and Sepultura, and that was awesome. That was probably my heaviest of the heavy, and it's not
nice.
And Nine Inch Nails, and that was probably
I love Nine Inch Nails so much.
And I wouldn't say is metal. I would say
that's not metal. That's its own kind of thing there. I have such an eclectic taste in music. I am trying to think if there's a style that I just won't listen to. And unless we're talking like Tibetan throat singing, I'm pretty much down for just about anything. I like classical. Yeah. I like rock. I like pop. I like metal in that capacity. I like especially love 90s hip hop. I was talking to my friend Kelsey from Pilot Lights today, and we just started talking about Gangster's Paradise for like no reason. And I was like, oh my God, it's so good. Such a dork. I'm like, Michelle Pfeiffer's in that video. It's like, all right, Coolio, bring it.
Yeah, I think that I surprised myself that I liked like Mumford and Sons and stuff so much.
I like Mumford and Sons. I like bluegrass. Again, I grew up with classic country roots, so kind of that bluegrass rock, rockabilly kind of sense. I like it all. I really – and not everybody. I mean, obviously, there are shitty people and shitty singers and songs that suck, but I'm a fan of – a lot of these things.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people are like, oh my God, you like that? I'm like, yeah, I do. Suck it. So, yeah. Suck it, Karen. I mean,
yeah. Nobody's ever going to surpass the Beatles for me. I love the Beatles. In times of doubt, always go with the Beatles. And so.
I do not have that saying in my life.
Yeah. The Beatles calm me. I know all the Beatles songs, and it just, I can, you know, there's a reason why they're played every third song on most radio stations.
Probably, I think my dad probably tortured us with it when we were kids. And I just have not, I'm not, I don't dislike them. I have certain songs that, you know, I love because everyone does.
Yeah.
I'm just in general not a huge Beatles fan.
Yeah. And I know a lot of people kind of get sick of it because they hear them so much, but I liked them more than my parents did. So I played it more than my parents did. So I was the one that annoyed them with it.
My sister's middle name is Michelle. And so my dad used to like play that, and she hated it. She loves the Beatles now, but she fucking hated that song as a kid. And she would get so mad. She doesn't listen to our show, so I can tell the story. She gets so mad as a little kid. You would just see her like turn bright red, and she'd like bite her tongue, like sticking out of her mouth, and just like adorable and hilarious because it wasn't adorable. Me.
I would sing the song right now, but you know I am so deaf. But I'm singing it in my head, and it's adorable.
It's very cute.
Yeah, but Tom Petty, by the way, I love Tom Petty. Love him.
Tom Petty's Learning to Fly was my high school senior class song because we're idiots. Mm. I don't dislike Tom Petty's. I don't dislike that song. It just wasn't a very good song. So
Learning to Fly. For
our senior year.
Oh, I know, because it will get you killed unless you have an airplane. It's actually really bad advice.
I know. It's like
learning to fly, but I don't have wings. Yeah, that's not good. That's a bad. That's bad advice.
I think you smoked something, sir. Yes.
Yeah. So we had Light the Way, and then we had John Lennon's Y'all Shine On as the song behind it. So our theme was Light the Way, and then we all shine on. You know, blah blah. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Oh, I think the other songs in the running were Imagine, so John Lennon Imagine, which I was all for. That's fine. And then because we're big fucking dorks, The Rainbow Connection by Kermit the Frog, so which I also would have voted for. So
we had the, you know, All Shine On as our senior song, as the song, and then It Light the Way was the theme, right, for that year. But then our senior t-shirts, the ones just for seniors, said all burnt out.
Okay, so here's the thing. Like, the high school that I went to, this has nothing to do with anything, but tell it anyway. High school that I went to, when I was in the eighth grade, the high school had always been an open campus during lunch. So people could leave, they could go home, they could do whatever they wanted. They just had to be back before the bell. So the year that I went into the ninth grade, into high school, was the first year that they're like, okay, maybe we should scale this open lunch back. So sophomores and above can go home. So my class, being the freshman class, had to stay. Next year, juniors and seniors only. So like, and then the last year, I'm not kidding. The last year it was like seniors only. And then the year we were seniors, we're like, totally closed. We're like, motherfucker. So when we, Well, we and my class, we are 45 years old. We are still fucking salty about it. I'm not even kidding. So at our 10-year class reunion, the t-shirts that they had made for this reunion, and I didn't get one and I'm kicking myself for it now, was like, they were actually really cute, whoever drew them. So on the front, it was like, you know, a cheerleader, stick people. So it's like a cheerleader and a football player. And they're, you know, like a stick figure, cheerleader, football player. But on the back, they both got like saggy and fat, which was delightful. And on the bottom, it was like, we finally get off campus lunch or something like that. I was like, oh, we're still salty about it. So
that is so funny. Oh, years. My goodness.
Yeah. So yeah, let's take a quick break, because we're like into this thing here. And when we come back, we will talk a little bit more about kind of our current day moods and tastes with music.
Okay.
The internet is full of useless information, tons of breaking news stories and articles, so much so there's no way you can see or read it all. Join us each Monday morning as we highlight the past week's most important stories, debate current topics, review the latest movies, and more. We'll even give you some highlights of the upcoming week so you have something to look forward to. All so you can delete the rest and start the week with room in your brain for more important things, like puppy memes and TikTok videos. Head over to StolenDroids.com and subscribe to the Monday Morning Memory Wipe. Follow us at Memory Wipe on Twitter and Morning Memory Wipe on Instagram. Life's too short to remember everything. Let us do it for you.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
All right, let's talk about different ways that we can support the show. I know that some of our listeners have reached out to us. First, remember you can always grab some merch at nerdybitches.com/store. There are a lot of fun items on there, even not necessarily branded items because they're curated artists all over our store. So just shopping through the site can get you some awesome merch and still support us.
Absolutely. You can also support us by going to patreon.com/nerdybitches and becoming a patron of the show. For as little as a dollar a month, you can help support the show. It helps us run the back end of things and grow our show and keep the lights on, really.
Also, if you just want to go ahead and buy us a drink, go to paypal.me/nerdybitchespodcast. Give us a one-time donation if you'd like, and we'll give you a shout out on the show.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay. And we're back.
Hello.
So now that you've all gone out and bought your Nerdy Bitches merch, super awesome. Send us a picture. We'd love to see you in your cute shirts. Let's talk about music today. Like, you as a grown person living in this adulting world, what are you listening to? Anything?
I don't know, but I'm about to look for California Raisins because now I'm like totally I got to find my California Raisins music. Oh, they're on YouTube.
The five impersonators who did California Raisins are like, we just got a royalty check for 27 cents. What is that about? And we bring on a resurgence on Apple. So
yeah, man.
I bet they are. Let's put a link on the show notes for California Raisins for our younger listeners, all six of them.
I'm not kidding.
I'm going to give a shout out to Sweden. We hit like number 104 on Sweden's personal journals or something.
That we bring them as much joy as the California Raisins have brought me. And I hope that they don't know what the California raisins are and they go
they're
and
like
find
Googling
it.
They're like, what does that mean? Because remember, it was not only this band. Yeah, because remember back in the day, and we haven't done the toys that made us, did we? We did our own version, but there's a TV show on Netflix that's the toys that made us.
We didn't review the show, but we talked about our toys.
But back in the 80s, they created toys first and then made a TV show around them, and sometimes in the other way around. So you just never knew what was going. So the California Raisins were not only this band, in my air quotes, that don't work well on a podcast, band. They also had, like I said, the Claymation TV show, and there were actual – it was actually a raisin propaganda machine. Like the raisin company, like Sunmade or whoever sold the raisins in the 80s was like, hey, California raisins, eat more raisins. I'm like, that is fucking creepy. Like at least Chick-fil-A realizes they should put the cow on their thing and not the chicken. It's like raisins are like, eat me. I'm like, okay.
and I had their cassette.
Oh my God. Okay. So when you were like junior high or whatever, did you sit around and make mixtapes off of the radio?
All the time. And then I would get so mad when the DJ would talk over the beginning of the song.
So bad. I was like the queen of the mixtapes, and especially after CDs and stuff came out, like burning my own compilation disc. I'm like, that's right. It might as well be Liz Town because they're just random fucking songs. So I still have them.
I did too.
I don't have a CD player, but I know. I still have the CDs.
I have one in my car, and I have ones that will pull out and they'll say like pool party. Cause I remember when I lived at the condo in Houston, I was on the events thing. I'd actually create CDs.
You were the DJ.
I was the DJ.
I DJ'd my own wedding through an iPod. Nice.
Yes. I remember when you played White and Nerdy.
I did. That was Paul's and my song. We like did the fake slow dance to White and Nerdy. And then we had like a real dance after that. But we just thought it would be funny because we are both of those things. So thank you, Weird Al.
It was so funny.
I know. Nobody expected that shit, which is why it was even funnier.
I did not expect it.
We didn't tell anybody. So
it was hilarious.
Yeah. I throw a good party. I miss throwing parties. I don't miss people, but I kind of miss throwing parties.
Yeah. All right. So what music do you listen to now? Like what's on your Rolodex?
All right, I'm going to pull up, like I will pull up my playlist here because I have my phone right in front of me.
All right.
So I would say the playlist I listen to most often because I'm just that person. I have two. I have one that I've created for like a photo editing one. It's one that I can work to, just songs that I really like. But mostly I just like look at the ones I purchased most recently. So I have the soundtrack from Bohemian Rhapsody. Okay. So all the Queen stuff. I have Maroon 5. I have the Black Eyed Peas. I have Ed Sheeran. I have a guy named Ryan Cabrera. I have Billie Eilish. The Weeknd. I'm obsessed with that Blinding Lights song. And the Jason Derulo Savage Love. And I've been working on my book. Like I finished my book and I've actually created a Spotify playlist that goes along with it. And so a lot of the songs that pop up here are songs that are going to show up in the book. But I would say that my last three purchases are Hello, Tennis Ball, and I Punch Keanu Reeves from Always Be My Maybe. Because they're amazing. I'm like, hello, Peril. So
yeah.
Oh, and Crazy Train by Ozzy Osbourne. Because I've got a guitar and I'm fully planning on creating my own cover. Yeah.
Nice.
No, I'm going to create my own cover version of Crazy Train. Yeah. So it'll be awesome.
Oh, that would be cool.
Look for that on Spotify one day. Never. Probably.
Can I tell you about my own internal crazy?
Yeah.
First, I'll tell you about what generally I play.
Mm-hmm.
I play a lot of Muse and it's not necessarily, it's because it's, you know, it just kind of, it has like an anthem. They usually have stories. I play
I had
a lot
that
of
one that was on the Twilight soundtrack.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think they do have one on the sound. Yeah. So the Resistance is an album and I'll listen to that. I don't know why. There's something about it. I can work to it. Anyway, I like it. I play some Billy Joel and Hamilton soundtrack sometimes.
Oh, Paul and I are obsessed. And my niece Olivia is 5. Oh my God. She's obsessed. Loves it. She literally watches Hamilton on Disney Plus every night when she goes to bed and listens to the soundtrack and knows most of the words. And yesterday had a massive meltdown because I could not call Lin-Manuel Miranda and Philippa Sue so that she could talk to Hamilton and Eliza. She was so upset. I was like, I can send him a note on social media. Like, I don't have their number. She's like, but why not? Like, I don't know. So Lin-Manuel Miranda, if you are listening, please call me because my niece wants to talk to you.
I'm sure he's so listening. Cute. I'm sure
of course
he's
listening. He is. Duh. Yeah.
The music I listen to now, my music changes so much. I can't even.
I shuffle my iPod and I'm like, or my whatever, iTunes, and I'm like, what the fuck song is that? That's so much music.
I know.
It's ridiculous.
I go through these phases and they just don't stick. Linkin Park, I stick with a lot, but it makes me anxious sometimes instead.
You know what I've been listening to for a year on a loop? Because when I'm writing, I get so easily distracted, and anything, I think I have this like auditory processing thing happening. I cannot deal with a lot of excess sound if I'm not anticipating it for whatever reason. It's just distracting. So I have been listening to the band Daughtry, Chris Daughtry from American Idol, who I love. So his band has 2 albums out that I own, and I have listened to those 2 albums on a loop every day for a year because I can turn it up super loud. Like, I even did this when I had my root canal done. I just turned music up super loud. I can't hear anything, and it becomes like invisible white noise. So I will absolutely have an acknowledgement. Thank you to Daughtry because I've just been listening to this shit for ever.
There is something to be said for, like, if you know the music so well that you can just tune it out. Now, okay, so I do have to give an honorable mention to Amy Mann because I have all of her albums. And if I'm stressed out, I just play it in the background. And I know all the lyrics to all the songs, and it's almost like a mantra in my head, and I can just play her music. And I first started doing that when I was learning calculus for school. Yep. And I'm just repeating the same thing over again. And it's just in my head, and I just can use it and calm down because I know all the music. Another George Harrison does that to me too, like his solo stuff, which is just, I just know him so well that I just can do it and turn my brain off even though I'm listening to something. It lets my brain do something else while I'm concentrating on something. The part that goes and starts thinking about, what am I going to do tomorrow? Do I have to go and get groceries while I'm trying to concentrate on something? It lets that part go and
see,
think
you
on
may
something.
Be ADHD too. Well. But that's the thing. Like, I have had music in my brain probably every minute of my life that I was awake. For as long as I can really remember. Like, I don't pay attention to it. I don't really notice it too much. But if there's a pause between like one thought and the next, there's some song. Like right now it's Savage Love, just cause I read the thing or whatever. Or I keep seeing it on like TikTok videos and shit. They have little pieces of it.
TikTok has put songs in my head that won't go away.
The worst.
And that's absolutely awful.
One. Paul sings that one.
It's a stupid song. Been in my head, and I keep singing it to my dogs.
Oh no! Oh no! Yep, Paul's been walking around singing that one.
Like get it out of my head.
Yeah, they get out of my head. But the fun thing is, like, I just started this medication for the ADHD over the weekend, and I was talking to Paul, and I just kind of sat there, and he's like, "Do you hear the music?" And I was like, "No." It's like there's actual empty space in there because I realized, like, I listen to my books super fast, like on 1.5 speed, because I cannot handle them at one speed, like at one time normal speed. I think that's just the speed my brain processes at. So if it's too slow, I lose interest and I wander away.
But yeah, that's funny. Yeah, I don't know. But
yeah, TikTok is killing me with the.
I barely watch it. And I normally would turn the music off. But like, I always like the ones with dogs and that song. They always put that stupid song on the dogs ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't tell you what makes me annoyed. The algorithms that determine what I'm going to like.
Yes.
And what's worse is when
it's right.
I hate it's that like so much. When it's the fucking Foo Fighters and you're like, You're just assuming that because I'm a middle-aged white lady. White lady. Oh, motherfucker, this song is awesome.
I'm like, back off, Sugar Ray. Take your frosted tips elsewhere. I don't want to hear about it anymore, but I
just
do.
Just because this song is awesome doesn't mean you should assume I would like it.
I know. It's so bad. I'm like, you're such an asshole, iTunes. But, you know, thanks for that. I don't even know how I came across it. I do. It's a TikTok song. That's the Savage Love song, the Jason Derulo one. It's in my head all the time. And it's just so fucking peppy. I told Paul, I was like, I don't know why. Like, in the last, I don't even know how long, I have become obsessed with these, like, male high falsetto singers. So, Jason Derulo and, you know, The Weeknd and Adam Levine and all of these guys who just have that kind of like high range. And he's, I was like, why is that? That's weird. That isn't what I would think I would normally like. He's like, cause it sits perfectly in your range and you can sing along with it perfectly. I was like, oh, well, that makes sense. Okay. I'm okay with that. So
that could be it.
Yep.
Now, by the way, Tom Petty. I talked about him. I just want to mention my absolute love for Tom Petty because he's also on the list. So Beatles, George Harrison, Tom Petty. Oh, and you got to put Joan Jett in there. Joan Jett's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Hello.
And Stevie Nicks.
Stevie Nicks is amazing.
So, all right.
We need to do just the women of rock or something at some point because we haven't done a women of in a while. But there are so many awesome. And not just rock, but the women of music, because there's a lot of people out there who are just so pioneering in what they do, like Bette Midler even. And like, of course, I can't think of anybody right now because my brain is going to do me like that, you asshole. But that's the thing. Like, I think a lot of women in music, just like women in comedy and all, you know, women in entertainment in general, don't get enough credit for what they do and what they bring. Oh my God. Oh my God. We have not even talked about Dolly Parton.
Yes.
I want to do a whole episode on fucking Dolly because I love her. So I was watching YouTube and I fell down a rabbit hole the other day and I ran across this video and it was two teenage boys. They were African-American boys and they're just hanging out in their room and they watch old music videos for the first time and react to them. So the first one I run across from them is, of course, Jolene, which one of the greatest songs of all time. Love this damn song. And, you know, you're just like, I'm like, what is, how are they going to react? Are they going to, one, how do you get to any age and not have heard Jolene? But I guess they were like, from the first beat, they were totally into it and it was amazing. And then I spent like 4 hours watching like 75 other videos. So. And I watched somebody like watch and critique the entirety of the first act of Hamilton. So, you know, you gotta be careful with that YouTube rabbit hole. But Dolly Parton, not only is she an amazing singer, a quirky actress, like all of those things that she does, she is probably one of the most prolific songwriters out of anybody ever. She has written like 3,500 songs, just crazy number for her, for other people, all over the place. And there is a, there's a documentary on Netflix that came out recently about her. It's so good. And I just read her book, Dolly Parton's Songteller, I think was the name of it. And it's basically just her, and I listen to audiobooks. So it's her actually narrating and going through and talking about some of her best songs and like what they were about and how it, you know, may have been something part of her life, but also how she was bringing in all of these really feminist personality there, like all these feminist ideals, but doing it dressed up, looking like a hooker, basically. And she says that. That's not my word. That's hers. Like she likes to look cheap. Like when she was a kid, when she was a little girl, she was super poor. And she thought the women who dressed like that were absolutely beautiful. That's what she wanted to do. And she is brilliant as a strategist and as a businesswoman, because she has cultivated this personality and everyone knows who she is and everyone knows what she does, but just so good. So impressive. Like if we had dream guest on this show, we could never get a Dolly, but I mean, holy crap. I think I could sit and listen to her talk for days.
Yeah. Yeah. I love her too. And I loved her in Steel Magnolia.
That's Trees the best.
Yep.
She got all the good snarky lines. She and Olympia Dukakis, RIP, because I believe she just passed away a couple weeks ago.
Yes, she did. Yeah.
Sadness. But anyway, I know. Yeah, you can't have a Music That Made Me thing without having a little Dolly Parton.
Yeah, you do. You have to mention her. She definitely is groundbreaking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and all on her own. It's just, and there is something different with country music because they really give, they really do a much better job, I think, in building up other people and doing more cross promotion than definitely rock.
I think that from what I'm hearing, the industry, current industry, or the more modern in the last 15, 20 years, is not doing as well at that. So, and you know what? That I think all of the industries probably ebb and flow like that. But
definitely. From what I understand, I think that hip hop does a better job at that now than any of the others. Yeah. But I don't know. I don't listen to hip hop, so
I do. I listen to all. I'm not kidding. I listen to just about anything, and I love it all. I do. And, you know,
no, it has to be 20 years old before I even like start listening to it.
Well, and I will say, like, I'm the few things that I do hear on the radio from time to time, I'm like, all right, maybe, or what, didn't I hear that spit up in a TikTok video, that Three Little Birds song? I don't even understand. I was like, is that Bob Marley? Like, what? That's the only Three Little Birds I know about were from Bob Marley.
Honestly,
I don't understand it. No, it's like, I was like, what am I listening to? Because I'd never heard the real song until I was leaving the gym 2 days ago. I was like, oh, that's boring. Speed it up. Like, anyway.
I find that, like, anything new that I listen to, it's only because I heard it on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. I like the songs that they're new, but they sound a little bit older.
I do
so,
too.
Like, I think
too.
That's why I like Blinding Lights by the Weeknd, because it has that weird like 80s synth pop kind of situation happening. And and there's some others, and of course I can't think of them off the top of my head.
And that's why I liked Amy Winehouse, you know.
Yes, I love Amy Winehouse. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That one song of Amy Winehouse's that I know.
Oh, I had the whole album and it was all really similar.
I don't think I ever really heard much about her until she had died, or right before maybe. But I was married to an idiot for a really long time, and we had very different tastes in music. Like, this guy's making me listen to Cat Stevens, and I'm like, fucking cut my ears off, because, and I shouldn't say that, poor Cat Stevens. But the thing is, like, when somebody you don't like pushes music on you, it just makes it that much more repellent.
It makes it worse, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway.
All right, so tweet us with your current...
We want to know your current playlist and like what you listened to as a kid. Like, what was your first memory of loving a song?
Yes. And I bet you we're going to have more California Raisin fans.
We are making a California Raisin t-shirt. We're going to figure out how to do that without like violating copyright somehow.
There's no way. Like, I don't know. What is Big California Raisin going to come after us?
You know what? We're going to go find out if it's lapsed, and we're going to go buy the copyright.
I bet it's not lapsed.
That one person that listens to our show in Northern California is the owner of the California Raisins.
Yeah, probably
brand.
Northern California. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, though, do we do also Temptations and and Rolling Stones? You know what? Any kind of the protest classic rock.
You
want to
know what
the protest classic rock?
Okay. The best movie soundtrack, or one of the best ones, and I used to use this in training classes all the time, is from Remember the Titans. If you haven't seen that, it has the best music in it from that era, and it is delightful. So,
okay. All right.
Check
you
around.
Know what else? Also, Suicide Squad's soundtrack. All very fucking good.
You know, you want to know what I'm so upset about? Because when I went to see Captain Marvel, which is set in the 90s, right in my wheelhouse of being a late teenager, early 20-er, they have the best music in that movie, but they don't have a soundtrack of it. It's only the fucking score. Like Paul likes scores. I don't want the score. I want the soundtrack that has Hole and Nirvana and like got all the stuff on it that was like right there in my senior high school day kind of thing.
Yeah.
So if you're listening, Marvel Studios, and I know you are, Let's make a soundtrack from Captain Marvel with all the pop songs in it, or the whatever they were, grunge songs. They're all grunge songs. So,
you know what? I got that. I have that same white on gray Nine Inch Nails shirt.
I know you do. You could totally cosplay as Carol Danvers.
All right.
Thank you guys for joining us. Do you have an internet quote for us today?
I do. I got it from Ice-T.
Actual Ice-T?
Actual Ice-T.
Cool.
From Twitter. When social distancing is over, let's not tell some people.
Yeah, I think that needs to be like a secret club handshake that happens, but probably not a handshake because we still don't want to touch people.
Yeah.
I posted something on Instagram the other day, somebody else's Instagram reels, and it was this woman like getting ready to go into somewhere, and she takes out like a clothespin and she clips her vaccination card to her shirt before she goes without a mask because she doesn't want to get confused for an anti-vaxxer. I was like, yes, that's what we need. My friend Ophelia is like, we went and had ours laminated at Staples. Cool. I was like, I'm literally going to pin it to my shirt like I'm in kindergarten. Like, I have my vaccine.
I've seen that. I've vaccinated pins.
Yep. I see. Comic Palooza, if you guys are listening, this year when we get our lanyards, we just need to have one of those. You remember the ID wallets they used to have when you were in college and you had to have your ID kind of showing all the time? We'll just get one of those. Put the vax card right in there.
Yeah, I'll put it in. Here you go.
Yep. I am vaccinated and happy about it. Though I'm still not opposed to getting those giant blow-up hamster balls and just running people down with them.
Yep.
Next year, we'll do that as an event. Yeah. We'll host that. All right. Well, I guess we will see you guys next time.
Music provided by www.bensound.com, and please email feedback to contact us at nerdybitches.com.